gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I have physical evidence of how bad the economy has gotten.
How?
I will tell you the most terrifying road rage story that happened to me yesterday.
Wow.
Ever. Ever.
Really?
Was there gunplay involved?
We'll see who can top that. We'll get to that in a moment. That's how you know things are getting bad out there. All right, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. A rollicking right-wing world next hour co-hosted by Carl Frisch, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, one of our very personal favorites. And a jam-packed newsmaker hotline, starting with Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
I barely survived a road rage incident yesterday here in L.A.
Sorry about that. Well, I'm glad you survived, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, Representative. It's you know, now it's becoming, you know, past the just the newspaper headlines, like, oh, it's bad out there. Oh, unemployment's bad. I think that it's really starting to hit home for a lot of people, right? If it's not you, it's somebody you know that either just got fired or, you know, is losing, their company's going under or whatever. I mean, is there any hope out there?
Well, I mean, it is a bleak situation, and I think, you know, there's a massive psychological barrier right now that people just don't believe it's going to get better anytime soon. And to a certain extent, they're probably right in the sense of significant job creation. But, you know, most of the indicators that we're seeing show that things at least have bottomed out, that we probably are poised for a recovery, but it's going to be a while. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, there's some people saying that it's never, you know, I heard some commentators the other day saying they didn't think it was ever going to be where it was 2 years ago or three years ago, and that's very possible. We may have a total reformulation, I guess, of the economy, but
You feel like you're in a firing line. A good friend of mine just lost a job yesterday, and you look to the left and the right of you, and you're just like, oh, boy.
Well, exactly, and it's people you never expected. I mean, you know, we've always had kind of, and this is offensive to a lot of us, I know to you, that we always had a segment of the population that were kind of disposable items in the labor force, but now this economy is affecting through the entire spectrum, and I guess in an ideal world, that's the way you want a democracy to work, that everybody shares the pain as well as the benefits.
But
a lot of people are feeling pain now who never thought they would.
Absolutely. Well, and I know the Obama administration is considering a series of measures to help the unemployed, you know, which sound good to me, you know, extending unemployment and health benefits and offering states temporary loan packages, mm-hmm. all good ideas, don't you think?
Well, exactly. And you know, when there's six people looking for every job that's available, you know, it's not these people just lollygagging around. These are people who want to work, and we've got to do something to make sure that they stay alive and can support their families. You know, one of the things that we've talked about in the Ways and Means Committee here is trying to come up with some kind of a public service orientation where people can actually work in exchange for extended unemployment benefits, do some kind of public service.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't quite figured out how to do that yet, but I think that's something we ought to look at, because a lot of people out there would love to do something, would love to make a contribution if they could.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I guess that is, you know, jobs is sort of, you know, a topic A, isn't it? I mean, how do we create more jobs, do you think? I mean, what else can we do?
Well, I think what we have to do is to look for opportunities in emerging industries, and I don't know of any other one but besides energy. There's a limit, obviously, to how many people can work in healthcare and education, and that's really where the only job growth is right now.
Right.
So,
well, what if you, for instance, work in radio and have no job skills really of any kind? Oh, I kid, Congressman. Now,
yeah. Well, you know, I come from the media world too, so I know wherever you speak.
Yeah.
You can run for Congress.
You know,
yeah, run for Congress, Stephanie.
If you have no skills, trying to get into Congress. You know, I guess the good news is, you know, despite all this, you know, the right-wing noise machine sort of rooting against America at every turn, whether it's, you know, getting the Olympics here or the president's health care reform, this new Associated Press poll you probably heard about, the president's job approval is up, and his, you know, approval on almost every issue is up.
It is, and I think people have finally gotten out of that Tea Party August mode. They've seen through a lot of the arguments. They understand that the scare tactics were nothing more than that, and fundamentally they understand the Republicans have nothing to offer. And so I sense that things are moving not just back in President Obama's direction, but I think in things like health care. I think the momentum is clearly now with health care. People believe we are going to get a bill, and so now they've started to focus on what's the best bill that we can create here rather than are we going to have a bill or not. So I think that's a sense of positive momentum that's going to help us a lot in the next few weeks.
Well, absolutely. That was one of the things that I was most pleased to see in this new poll is, you know, again, despite all these town halls and all this screaming from the right wing, people's approval of the president's health reform plan is also up.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I keep saying this, and people don't believe me, for every person who says don't do this health care bill in my district in Louisville, Kentucky, 10 people say keep fighting, we have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, the word on the street, the proportionate support for it on the street is overwhelming. So I know it's not the case everywhere.
Yep.
Apparently Minority Leader Boehner can't find anybody in his district who supports Republican.
Yes. He's managed to not run into 70% of the American people,
right.
Oddly.
I've actually extended an invitation to him that's on my website to come to Louisville, and I will introduce him to people, ordinary Americans who support the public option.
Yeah, well, you know, before you go, Congressman, the one thing that did give me some hope yesterday is, because I really do, I think a lot of Americans really are truly, not just saying it, but hungry for some bipartisan solving of our problems, you know, because
mm-hmm.
we're all in this together. You know, Afghanistan, you know, I guess is, you know, they had that big meeting yesterday, and Senator Reid said, I think what came out of it is all of us, Republicans and Democrats, will support whatever decision the president makes, and that would be nice for a change, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, exactly, and I think we will. I have some reservations. I'd sure like to know what our mission is in Afghanistan, a clear sense of it. But it would be. I'm meeting this afternoon. There are five or six of us on the Ways and Means Committee and the Energy and Commerce Committee who are meeting with a group of six Republicans to see what kind of bipartisan agreement on individual issues we can come up with. So we're trying. We're trying. There are people of goodwill up here who are trying to work together.
Really now.
Interesting.
So you disagree with the National Republican Congressional Committee who thinks General McChrystal should put Nancy Pelosi in her place. Am I being an emotional chick to think that seems a little sexist?
Oh, just a little bit. Well, I tell you, I mean, we look at the NRCC stuff every day, and they ought to be writing for some reality TV show or something or sitcom, because what they come up with is truly creative, I have to admit. I mean, they go to another galaxy to come up with the arguments they do.
They get an A for creative writing.
Exactly.
All right. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, we always appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, Stephanie.
Well,
take care.
You too. There he goes.
I like him. He's chuckly.
He's chuckly in the morning.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What?
Most terrifying road rage incident ever.
What?
I know we live in L.A., so it's pretty much every day is an episode.
Although, with the way you drive, you probably caused the incident.
Now, see, there you go.
Well.
With your sexism already.
I didn't say anything about your sex. I said something about the way you,
were
in
you
particular, drive.
Cutting across four lanes without signaling while texting?
You've been known to do that.
I was not. See how you automatically are on this stick side, and you don't even know what happened.
Well.
You automatically turn against me.
Well. I've ridden with you.
You have not.
Yes, I
when have.
When have
you ever driven with me?
I have ridden. Oh, that's right. You always ask me for a ride
mm-hmm.
to places.
You're my designated driver.
Uh-huh.
Obviously there's always been road rage. But to me, it was like a symbol that things are bad out there. Like, who knows what happened to this guy?
Yeah.
You know, whether he lost a job or what. But I was like, this was the most psychotic episode I've ever been through.
What happened?
Well, first of all, have you ever... Okay, I see how you're looking at me already, Jim. I'm saying, if I cut him off or something, I'm not aware of it.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think I did anything particularly egregious. You know, sometimes that happens. Somebody's in your blind spot or whatever. But it was one of those things where I'm at a light and he almost pulls into my lane and he's doing the yelling and screaming and just shaking his fist. Like, and I'm the kind of person, like, I don't egg people on because you never know who's armed around here. So.
Right.
I didn't flip him off or anything. I actually just, like, waved. I just was, like, you know, kind of the sorry kind of.
Oh, that probably pissed him off even more.
Okay. Well,
he wanted you to engage him.
Well, I wasn't going to.
Oh,
and
no.
Then the other thing, I realized that I have I have a Hollywood liberal thing around
there you go.
As a joke, and I'm going,
you're asking for it.
This was a psychotic right winger, or he just had some problem. Anyway, so you're
Or
ready
you
for
cut
this?
Him off quite dangerously in traffic.
Look, if I did, I clearly didn't do it on purpose. So
right.
I just waved. I was like, okay, sorry. Like, you know. Anyway, the guy follows me home. Like, almost all the way home. I didn't know what to do. He kept,
home.
Yeah.
Well, let me just, this is also another point to the story, and that is, I love construction men. Mama loves construction men, who saved my life yesterday. Thank you, construction men.
How did they save your life?
We're getting to that part of the story.
Okay.
So, the guy is a complete asshat. As I mentioned in my premise the last few weeks, America has become a nation of asshats.
Yes.
You know. Starting with Joe Wilson, Kanye West, yada yada. So, so for blocks, he kept, like, cutting me off deliberately and then slamming the brakes on. And literally, we almost got in an accident several times because he would cut right in front of me and then slam the brakes on, which I don't understand, Jim, the logic of that.
Because it would be your fault, technically.
So yes, I smash into him.
It would be your fault, technically,
according to the law in California.
Oh.
That's why.
Oh, I see. So he wanted me to smash into
his
car.
So that you would have to pay for all the damages.
Oh,
and that's
that
how
nice.
He would get his revenge for you cutting him off.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this went on for several miles where he just kept cutting in and out in front of me and slamming on the brakes. And so then I finally, he goes through a light. I'm like, oh, thank God, because I was turning. So I literally, I turn, and then I see him out of the corner of my eye. He squirrels into a gas station, goes through a red light to follow me, to keep following me. I mean, this guy was committed to this thing. You have to give him,
give him mad props. Yeah.
He became a stalker, not just a road rage guy, like a stalker.
Did you get his
license
plate?
So then I didn't know where I guess I should go to the police station. This guy's like following me. It's like, seems like there's going to be violence, yada, yada. So, I didn't know where I lived near a park, so I thought, okay, I'm going to the ranger station. Anyways, the ranger wasn't there. But anyway, there were construction guys on my corner. And I started to turn, and this guy starts screaming, "She's a psychopath! That bitch is crazy!" Like, anyway, the construction
workers.
You
got called a psychopath?
I know. I'm like, anyway, but these guys could figure out what was happening, and so, you know, he backed down like most cowards do, because you could tell he was gonna be violent or something. So these guys just looked at him and said, "Get the f*** out of here," and he did.
You had New York construction guys in your...
Yes. Yeah. They're all from Brooklyn.
Wow.
They work on my corner.
Did they whistle at you, at least?
No, but I
thanked
them. You
didn't get that from them?
For saving my life. Because then he finally took off, but it was terrifying. That's my story about how bad things are out there.
But
you asshat, if you're listening.
This guy knows more or less where you live now,
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't go home, but,
okay.
You know,
right.
I was nearby, but whatever. Whew.
I know you did something. I just know you did something. You weren't paying attention or something.
That should have caused that?
That was a little much.
That psychotic behavior?
That was a little much.
Someone's going to follow you home? Oh. All right. The good news is at least I was not mauled by a pack of raccoons like this Florida woman.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, well, because you know I had a raccoon in my house. I wasn't home.
Right.
I had a dog sitter weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yes, I have critter trouble, as you know, and I have raccoon trouble. They do mostly just pranks in my yard. They roll up the sod, and I don't, you know.
Don't they throw avocados at you?
Yes, and they throw avocados, and they do other scampy things.
And
yes.
They figured out the dog door.
Yes, they obviously figured out the dog door. Okay.
Well, when you have a dog door the size of a Great Pyrenees, anything can get in through there.
Oh, thank God, there's a bear in my kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll be one of those people with a bear in their kitchen. That happened to some woman recently, too. Now, that's critter trouble.
Oh, God.
Yeah, in Lakeland, Florida, animal control officers had to trap a pack of raccoons that mauled a 74-year-old Florida woman who was trying to chase them from your yard. Five raccoons surrounded and attacked her. It was a raccoon gang. It wasn't just
Apparently.
One raccoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeek.
She's fine now, thank God. So I was almost killed by some road rage asshat yesterday, but I was not mauled by a pack of raccoons, was also a possibility.
Yeah. So do you feel better?
Yes, now I do. I'm alive, for God's sake. What a weed. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour.
Probably should have called 911 and recorded his license number.
Yeah, I probably should have done that. Okay, 20 minutes after the... Oh, I have another pet peeve when we come back.
Hmm. Uh-oh. I hope it's not something I do.
Could be.
Uh-oh.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Shout out to that asshat who followed me home and almost killed me because apparently I cut him off in traffic yesterday. Hope you're listening. Okay. Is it worse out there? Belle in San Antonio, Texas. Is it me or is it the economy? What's going on, Belle?
Hey, let me tell you what happened to me. Whenever we have those tea parties here in San Antonio,
oh, God,
it's
crazy. Yes. Yep.
But the day of the tea party, I'm driving with my kids in the car. I've got a kid in the car seat behind me, too. And a man comes and he speeds up and he's playing this cat and mouse game. Then he looks at me and he won't let me over and he... He puts his head up like, yeah, I got you. And so the day after that, it gets a little worse. This guy is driving, and I'm coming, and I'm trying to get over to change lanes, and he won't let me change lanes. And I have an Obama sticker on the back. Actually,
oh,
I have to get all that.
Uh-huh. See, that's what I'm wondering, if it was my liberal Hollywood joke thing that I had on my car. Yeah.
I think it was, but yeah. I took my freedom of speech right off the back of my car because my babies got endangered this time.
Wow.
We're driving, and we're going back, and I'm trying to get over, and he's just speeding up and slowing down, speeding up, slowing down. Finally, he gets, as he does it for miles, he gets in front of my car. He opens up his window. He speeds up. He takes a big old gallon of a liquid, pours it out. It goes all over my windshield,
oh,
all over my car.
Oh, I had somebody heave a whole big, like, liter bottle of something at my windshield on the road before. Yeah, I know. People are out of their minds, aren't they?
You gotta love Texas. Then what happens is we're driving, and he stops right before he turns off. And he looks at me, and he turns his window down. He's just laughs. And I just told my kids, cover your eyes.
Yeah. Belle, I don't get that, like, when you have kids in the car. And I have a friend that topped my story yesterday. She had the same thing happen to her. A guy pulled in. She was going into a store and started screaming at her. She was 8 months pregnant. She got out of the car, and the guy's screaming at her, and she just stood there crying. All these people came out of the store. They're like, I can't believe he did that. I mean, she literally ready to give birth
any
second.
You're pregnant, bitch! What the hell?
Keep your legs shut!
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was really, wow.
That's why I don't have bumper stickers on my car.
Yeah, I got to.
I
think I got
to. Yeah.
Yes. But you'd think I was safe, for God's sakes. I'm in the liberal Hollywood, but no. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, Donna Christensen from the, she's a representative from the Great Virgin Islands.
Yes.
And she's a doctor, I believe. We'll talk to her next on the Newsmaker Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
One time,
Stephanie Miller
was struck by lightning. That's why she can drink as much as she wants.
Oh, more than usual after my road rage incident yesterday. And I didn't even get to my other pet peeve. Oh, my panties are in a wad today.
Oh, boy.
33 minutes after
but
the hour.
Where are panties?
1-800-STEPH-1-2, theoretically. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, the president gave not a press conference, I guess another speech on health care.
Yeah.
Surrounded by doctors.
Yes. What do they know about health care?
Exactly. And, you know, if only we could talk to someone that, let's just say, was the first female doctor ever elected to the United States Congress.
Get out.
Let's just say Representative Delegate Donna Christensen from the Virgin Islands was on the phone. Good morning, Delegate.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thank you
great
so much.
Great to be with you.
No, so nice to have you. You know, I'm so tired of people shooting off their mouths that have no idea what they're talking about on health care. I'm happy to have you on. I know you've been really key in these, in these House negotiations and all that. You're Assistant Whip as well, right?
Yes, I've been working with the Whip organization as well, both in the Black Caucus and with the Tri-Caucus and with the WHIP organization in general, trying to make sure that we can bridge some of the divide within the Democratic Party and get this bill to the floor.
Well, you know, as usual, the right wing yesterday playing small ball, saying, well, where do they get the white coats? And, you know, the fact is these are doctors, and they do support the president's health reform bill, as many, many doctors do, correct?
Yes, they do, and they The White House asked some of us to help you know, look, get some doctors here. And they didn't want organizational heads. These were actual practicing physicians from around the country.
Right.
Who are on the front lines and know the issues that patients face when they are not insured and can't get the services that they need.
Well, and you started as an emergency room doctor, correct?
Yes.
And so, that's the thing that I just, that's the one part of this debate, Delegate, that I just can't seem to understand. People can't get their minds wrapped around that it costs us all money in the end when people are using the emergency room for primary care.
Especially, and a lot of it is uncompensated care. So the hospital just passes the cost of that care on to everyone else. People do not understand that everyone pays when so many of our fellow Americans are uninsured. Everyone pays because someone has to pay for that visit, and you who are insured are paying for it. I who am insured are paying for it.
Yep.
And so it's critical. But I spent most of my time doing family practice, which is a very providing a medical home, as our bill would do for patients, and being able to see the total picture of healthcare, not just the disease, but the barriers to fulfilling prescriptions for to make sure that you have the medicines to take every day, getting tests done, and then the environment in which people live that contributes to their illness. And so we're trying to address healthcare reform in a very comprehensive way in the House, and we hope we can hold the Senate to our standard.
Delegate Christensen, there's a story today. You know, the headline is "The House Feels Left Out on Healthcare." They talk about as the Senate Finance Committee slogs through amendments on its bill, House Democrats quietly contemplating a troubling question when it comes to healthcare: does the House even matter?
Yes.
That is troubling to me too, because I obviously prefer the House bills to anything out of the Senate thus far. But is there concern, as this story says, that, you know, you may get steamrolled by, you know, either a White House so eager for compromise that they're just going to use the Senate bill as a template, or, you know, who knows, media pressure? What do you think?
Well, unlike you, Stephanie, a lot of the media focuses on the Senate and forgets that the House even exists. So the Senate gets a lot more play, and what they're doing is much more widely broadcast. You know, we thank you that you have some to have that balance and understand that the House is important as well.
Well, my dad was a congressman, so as I understand it, it is still part of the government.
Yes, it is, and a very important part as
yes.
well. But there is some concern because the president and the his staff are really weighing in on that Senate bill. But the Senate bill is not going to be as comprehensive as the House bill is going to be, and we do not want to be steamrolled. But you know Nancy Pelosi, nobody's going to steamroll over our speaker. So
yeah, that's right.
We have very strong leadership in the House, and I think that, you know, we'll be able to fight our own battles and bring some of our
well,
bills
if it's up to people,
final package.
If it's up to people like you, I'll have you know, my dad also used to say that he wasn't smart enough to be a doctor, so he had to become a lawyer.
That's funny.
Can you respond to, you know, we have our friends on the right, like Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, saying things like this.
We know that the bill they send to the Senate floor will cut seniors' Medicare by $500 billion. We know that it will raise taxes on virtually everyone. We know it will limit the health care choices Americans now enjoy.
I'm tired of responding to him. Will you?
You know, the bill, however this bill, both the House and Senate bill, are going to make Medicare stronger, are going to make it easier for beneficiaries to access health care. The only cuts that are happening are in equalizing the payments between Medicare Advantage and every other provider, and in wherever we can find, and it still exists, waste, fraud, and abuse. And then we take pretty much all of that money and put it into closing the donut hole, to ensuring that the preventive services can be accessed by all Medicare beneficiaries without any copayment whatsoever, and providing comprehensive models of care, like accountability care organizations, so that patients' care can be managed in a much more comprehensive way. And we're going to use some of that money as well mm-hmm. to pay the providers more, so that our providers will continue or begin to provide health care to Medicare beneficiaries and Medicaid beneficiaries as well, because the low reimbursement rates that Medicare now pays and some of the barriers to getting payments are making doctors limit the number of Medicare patients that they will see. So we're mm-hmm. going to make mm-hmm. Medicare stronger, make it more accessible, and make preventive services more accessible, and close that donut hole over right. a period of years, which is a big barrior to getting medication for, mm-hmm. for seniors. So it's absolutely the opposite.
Mm-hmm. And, Doctor, you know, they keep saying this thing over and over again, as if they keep repeating it. It's true that this will limit medical choices that Americans now enjoy. What are they basing that on?
I have no idea, because we're actually increasing the choices, and I feel strongly that we're picking up some momentum for that public plan, which is really increasing choices,
yep.
increasing choices,
yep.
not decreasing choices. And it does, and there is nothing in our bill that interferes in the relationship between the patient and the doctor. We really strengthen mm-hmm. that relationship yep. by not interfering.
The word option would seem to point to that, wouldn't it?
You know, I just don't understand. Maybe they speak a different language than we do.
There you go. Delegate Donna Christensen of the Virgin Islands, a doctor, and we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes. We love her.
Yeah.
Love her. Oh, I didn't get to my other pet peeve real quick.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Before we take a break here. So not only was I almost killed by some road rage asshat yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That you cut off.
You don't know that.
Neither do you, because you weren't paying attention.
There's no need to follow someone home and kill them, for God's sakes.
Okay, that's true.
Just because you were texting while eating lunch and doing your makeup.
Was not.
While driving.
Was not. Okay. All right. You know I'm a dog owner. I have two beautiful Great Pyrenees. Mama's doggies, Max and Fred. Max and Fred.
Max!
Yeah, so I take them for a hike every day in the park near me. Do mm-hmm. you hate this? So I clean up after my dogs. I understand it's annoying when people don't pick up after their dogs.
Yes.
Okay, here's the thing that is now more annoying to me. Do you see this in parks near where you live? Is someone has not picked up after their dog, but then someone has written a snarky note and put it next to the poo with a rock. So now there's not only poo there, but now there's trash. On top of the, and what are the chances that person's going to come back and go, oh, well, there's a note.
Oh, I feel
well,
now,
bad now. Now I'll pick this up. I'm just saying it's annoying because now they've littered. Now on top of there being
yes,
dog poo on the trail.
Making a statement.
I guess. And it's usually very snarky and very, you know, sometimes it's a poem and sometimes it rhymes. And it's irritating no matter what it is.
Next time you see that, take a picture of it and send it to me because I will post it on a website called passiveaggressivenotes.com.
Oh
my God, yes. Is that a great website.
I'm just like, you moron, now you've made it worse.
Yeah.
Now there's litter and there's poo and there's a rock and it's...
That's passive aggressive.
Okay, thank you. I've got all that out of my system now. We have Drunken McPeepshoes news.
We do?
Yes, we have Breaking Tom DeLay news.
Uh-oh.
From Dancing with the Stars. That and Tinsel Talk is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek, I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all, their executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice of deity, Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah, you'd think that I was unprepared for today's show, like I'm just throwing out. What's your pet peeve? Have you had a road rage incident? But I'm not.
Call now.
Is it raining where you are?
People that leave notes on dog poo. What do you hate more? Okay, I'm just saying, lots of annoying things happened to me yesterday.
Yes.
But I am prepared for today's show, so there.
Okay.
All right. Even though Fred, my new 8-month-old Great Pyrenees puppy, does tend to lay on me and my show prep in the morning while I'm trying to get ready. So it's creased, but it's completed. Thank you.
Is there dog slobber on it?
He becomes like a dog hat. He's sort of like the Grinch's dog. He sleeps sometimes wrapped around my head on the pillow. He's a little needy still. I just rescued him a couple of weeks ago. You know how.
Yeah.
All right. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go. We have some breaking Drunky McPuke Shoes news. Oh, dear. Drunky. First of all, did anyone see Donny Osmond making out with Bruno? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What is that all about?
God.
I guess it was a joke. Although I don't think many Mormons found it funny. But however...
Yeah, then he made a homophobic comment afterwards.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
He said, oh, yeah, they're never going to let me back into Utah after that.
Well, okay.
Not exactly homophobic. It's a statement about Utah.
It's more Utah-phobic. All right.
I guess his actions and his face pointed to homophobia.
Tom DeLay's out. He's left on the Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. Not pass go, go directly to prison. It was revealed he has stress fractures in both feet. Did you see him being macho the other night? He said, what's a little pain when you can party?
Huh?
Whatever.
Just going back to being a hot tub tummy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. However, he had to drop out. The doctors and the producers said he had the stress fractures in both feet. He was plucky on Tuesday. He said, I want to dance no matter what. That's kind of like a showgirls, I'm a dancer, damn it, moment. It's very, very plucky of him. We have the rest of Drunk.
It is a heavy heart and an even heavier liver. Ha! That I announced that I am leaving Dancing with the Stars. I know it's a great disappointment, especially as Cheryl, who despite her body language seems to indicate that she hates my guts and wishes I would die a slow, painful death. I think she secretly has the hots for me. Right, sweet cheeks? See? The harder the hit, the more they secretly crave your manly essence. And your tiny little fractured feet. You wouldn't do that if I was Hey, man. Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. He got puke on his little girl pumps.
Aww.
Oh, dear. And finally, oh, wow, more from the Douche Diaries. John Gosselin now thinks he's more famous than Paris Hilton, according to Superficial.com. While chatting with three women at Chateau Marmont on Saturday, he apparently had verbal diarrhea and bared his whole life story. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Including the part where he says he's now more famous than Paris Hilton.
Oh,
we have our entertainment reporter on this. Mm-hmm.
This is your entertainment reporter, Percy Sludgebottom, with exciting news from Tinseltown, the entertainment capital of the world. I'm speaking, of course, of glamorous, glitzy, wonderful Hollywood. Ah, if only. Oh, you've been here during its heyday, when the likes of Bogey and Betty, Clark and Carol, Spencer and Kate were walking the red carpet. And no, I don't mean Spencer Pratt and Kate Gosselin. For those of you too young to remember, there was a time when there was actual entertainment to report on. Movies made by actual artists and craftsmen and actors, by which you mean people who could act. Portraying someone not themselves and telling a story that actually kept one interested for 2, maybe even 3 hours. Take you out of your drab, mundane existence and get lost in a world in which you don't exist. But no! I'm expected to give two... about self-absorbed twits like John Gosselin, who is famous because he doesn't understand the concept of birth control. Why, anyone in the right mind would waste more than a nanosecond following these hyper-reproductive morons. It's as baffling as the notion that a has-been beauty queen could become president, or that the first African-American president could be plausibly called a Nazi, or that someone like Glenn Beck should be given a day pass from the psychiatric facility in which he obviously belongs. Now we have to debate which waste of skin is more famous, John Gosselin or Paris Hilton. Oh, just shoot me now! That's another thing about you Americans. Why must you take everything so literally? It's just an expression. Like, call me. However, in this case, I mean, actually, call me an ambulance. Oh.
Have we killed off our entertainment reporter?
Oh, I guess that's the last installment. No. All right, that's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
I think that was your crazy driver guy who was shot him.
John Gosselin in birth control, he has the same dilemma the president does on Afghanistan. He's not sure when to pull out. Okay, we'll talk about that next hour. In the meantime, we have another Dancing with the Stars casualty. Kelly Osbourne has she's on Dancing with the Stars,
right,
as you know.
And she's doing very well, surprisingly well.
Yes, she posted photographs on her Twitter webpage. She burned her armpits with body spray. That's what happens when you choose the freshness spray over the deodorant. Her costume had to be altered to hide her painful-looking red armpits because she sprayed something there that wasn't...
Like yikes. Feminine deodorant
Some
spray?
Sort of spray.
Oh.
Was not meant for that purpose.
Oh, dear.
Okay, speaking of dancing... Ooh, that's quite a clogging there.
That's Gregory Hines.
Yeah.
Delisted.com has the headline of all headlines, Three Words from Heaven, Showgirls, the sequel.
Oh, no.
Delisted writes, I share their affection for Showgirls. Ever since the magical piece of trash masterpiece that is Showgirls changed my life in 1995, I've been hungry for a sequel or TV show or a YouTube series or a porn version or something. Finally, I can unclench my soul because my prayers have been answered. A sequel called Showgirls, A Story of Hope is in the works.
That's the one with Elizabeth Berkley, right?
Uh-huh.
And Gina Gershon.
And aren't they like in their 50s now?
Bitch fights and rhinestones and it's just... They could cast Tom DeLay in it now that he's free. All right, George Michael has split from his longtime lover.
I saw that coming.
Long suffering,
so to speak.
Yeah.
And what's it? Well, it's the reason that most couples break up because one of you was cruising in the public toilet.
Yeah.
In London.
Shagging van drivers.
Pot-bellied van drivers.
Yeah.
How many breakups have I had over that? Yes, okay, I was doing the potbelly van driver in the park, so what? All right, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to mention which boy band, but I live next door to a boy band.
Sure, you can mention, it's a boy band in the story, just mention it.
No, I can't. Anyway, one of them has the swine flu.
Like people can't Google a boy band swine flu. like people can't Google that. Just say the name of the band.
Like road rage is my worst problem now.
Just say the name
of it's not that boy band member.
Right.
But let's just hope that boy band member hasn't visited the boy band member that lives next door to me.
Oh.
They've been on tour.
Swine flu.
They've been on tour together.
Oh, I got road rage. I've got annoying dog poo notes, and now I got raccoon trouble.
Swine flu in the hood.
Now I got swine flu in the hood.
And sanitizer.
The Swiss are getting less and less neutral. Roman Polanski lost his first bid to win freedom as the Swiss Justice Ministry rejected an appeal for him to be released from prison. The ministry spokesman said, "We continue to be of the opinion there's a high risk of flight."
Really? Where would you get that idea?
Where would they have gotten that idea? There. You don't get anything past that Swiss ministry.
Nope. They're crafty.
They are. Oh, with the Twitter already. Actress Elizabeth Taylor has tweeted that she's going into the hospital for a heart surgery. It's a new procedure that involves repairing my leaky valve using a clip device. Dear God, they're using like a chip clip thing on her heart or something. But we wish her well because she was out front on the fight against AIDS.
Did someone say chips?
Oh.
Fancy new procedure. All right. Carl Frisch, who is one of our favorite snarky fellows.
Yes.
He's a senior snarky fellow at the Media Matters for America. He's going to co-host a rollicking right-wing world. This will come as a shock to all of you. The right wing, pretty much against everything. The president's plan for Afghanistan, which we don't even know what it is yet. Health care.
Whatever.
You name it. Right-wing world is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right now, 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 30 points. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, StephanieMiller.com, the website. John in Sausalito wants you two mooks to leave Mama alone. I was the victim of road rage yesterday. Hi, John.
Hi, Steph. I adore you.
Thank you.
I just had to call and
up to defend you because the mooks are being mean to you.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
You were the victim of a crime. You were traumatized. You're probably traumatized.
Yes.
How do you know?
Saying, oh, you must have done something. What the hell is that?
Yeah. How do you know that she didn't perpetrate a crime in order to make the guy mad at her? At her?
Oh,
it's like,
please.
It's like a rape victim. Well, maybe she did something to deserve it.
Yeah.
Maybe I was wearing a miniskirt, Chris,
yeah.
You pig.
But you weren't bent over a pinball machine. Come on.
You guys should give her a hug. You shouldn't, like,
yeah.
Say, oh, well, you must have done something. It's your fault that you got this crazy person driving after you
yes.
and trying to cause an accident.
But it's
yes.
usually her fault.
I must have cut him off or something, but he followed me home, for God's sakes.
Well,
and if it weren't for construction workers, whom I love, I might be dead now.
Well, I wish I was there because I would have taken care of you.
Thank you, John. Come and spoon with me.
Oh, Lord. Unless he'd been the one who'd been cut off. It's, you bitch!
Oh, I love
you.
My construction workers. You remember I just spoke to Leuna, the United International Laborers Union in
yes.
Orlando a few weeks ago. Love me! Feel the power! Love me some union men.
I'm sure you do.
Hmm. I did. I showed my appreciation in so many ways.
Okay.
All right.
They don't throw beads at you. You didn't need to do that, Stephanie.
They saved my life from some road rage asshat yesterday. All right. You know what? It's time for the right-wing world, and I need a man to spoon me through this for sure. And that man is Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Good morning, Carl.
Would you settle for a spork?
You know what I was saying? I have a license plate holder that says Hollywood Liberal on it, and so I have no idea whether this is part of this, you know, Tea Party 912 kind of rage we're seeing out there.
Well, I'm gonna have to rent that Jodie Foster movie that Chris mentioned just because I need a refresher.
There was no pool table involved. I was not bent over anything. I was simply trying to drive home. All right. I mean, you know, the thing is, Carl, I have to give you play you my favorite piece of audio crack from yesterday's Right Wing World.
Yeah.
Because they're getting a little screechy in defense of the Rush Limbaughs of
no.
the world. This is teeny tiny voiced Republican pundit Terry Jeffrey, who has a great big vision for America, defending what something Rush Limbaugh said.
Oh, dear.
Oh, don't be mean. He was doing his mating call.
Sound like a clown car trying to start in the winter.
That's what I said.
That was Katharine Hepburn having sex with Jimmy Stewart. Yeah.
Wow. He does a better Katharine Hepburn than I do. All right. All right.
Well,
I am even the people that are just now tuning in.
Yeah. I do. All right. Anyway, you write about Fox News and Media Matters this week. Do you love that David Axelrod just met with Roger Ailes to discuss tension between the White House and Fox News?
You
well,
think?
I don't have any idea what Axelrod could have tension about.
Yeah. I love this. The two discuss news coverage and the relationship between the organizations. The relationship is kind of the relationship between me and the road rage guy yesterday. That's the relationship.
Well, you know, Axelrod is making a cardinal mistake here, thinking that Fox is a news organization.
Right.
So, you know, what's actually funny is that I found this quote from the LA Times back in March of Glenn Beck talking about his meeting with Roger Ailes before he had moved over from CNN Headline News. And he said that when he was talking about, you know, I'm probably a little bit too much for Fox, Roger Ailes saying, you know, that they shared their opposition to Obama, and that, quote unquote, I see this as the Alamo.
Oh, God.
I don't know why they keep on using the Alamo as
yeah.
their, and you know, we lost at the Alamo.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's kind of like saying, you know, this reminds me of suicide.
That's just that sounds like a magical romantic moment. It's no, you're not too much, Glenn. You're just our kind of crazy. Come on.
Yeah. It's so that's what Roger Ailes had to say, and I can only imagine what he had to say to Axelrod. To be a fly on that wall would probably be like being a fly on the wall of Glenn Beck's padded white cell of a room.
Yes. You know, but you point out a bunch of things in this week's Media Matters about just Fox News. I mean, it's like they just come out and say it. They are just an arm of the Republican Party. You talk about, like, Dick Morris, you know, is basically using his appearances on Fox to raise money for these right-wing organizations.
is.
Well, the funny thing is Huckabee's kind of taken a page from him, and mm-hmm. you know, everybody knows Huckabee's got a show on Saturdays. It's kind of like the Tonight Show meets Jimmy Swaggart meets Really Do I Have to Watch This?
meets Hee Haw.
Yeah, meets Hee Haw. That's a good.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't even try and hide it. He like you know goes on TV and tells people to go to this website and sign a petition. And the second you click the sign button, it sends you to a donation page for his political action committee, which not only gives money to Republican candidates, but pays his daughter's salary.
Exactly.
Oh, really?
But Dick Morris, in addition to being screechy and breathless, it sounds like some sort of you know Jerry Lewis telethon when he's
You'll
on.
Never.
Well, he does have the telethon. It's for those with an infatuation of the human toe.
Carl Fish with the first prostitute toe-sucking joke of the morning.
We'll get to diapers later.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah. Here is a, let's start Right Wing World off with a Fox News promo on, it's a Fox question, Carl.
Their own worst enemy, the Dems continue to battle each other over health care. What's pulling the party apart? And will all the friendly fire kill their own bill?
They're just asking, Carl.
Well, you know, I've never seen a conservative network make such liberal use of the question mark.
Right.
I'm sorry.
It's always things
Have
that
I
they're...
Have ever heard a conservative network make such liberal use of the question mark?
Thank you for phrasing it as a question. Yeah, I think that what they normally are, the promos, they're things that they hope will happen. They're not actual news.
Well, you know, I'm surprised they never got the guy that does those movie preview voices to do these things.
Don LaFontaine. Yes.
Yeah, I mean he's dead now, but you know,
in a perfect world, the Democrats will.
Yeah. It really is quite a joke at this point, and it's kind of funny watching folks jump all over Shep Smith for occasionally standing up.
Right.
It's as if we've got Stockholm syndrome, and
yeah, and suddenly
like,
he's Alan Grayson.
This isn't mush. This is a bagel. Here. It's okay. I like you. You like me. And Shep Smith stands up and says, tell me about the public option, and then corrects the Republican senator. We're like, now that's fine journalism.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, this is the state at which we've been beaten into by the folks at Fox.
Yes. The folks at Fox include Charles Krauthammer, of course, on the Britt Baer show. If there's one thing they hate, Carl, it's an excess of thinking on the part of the president.
You would think he's thought it through. And now all of a sudden he's rethinking it. It's because of the political pressure. Mm-hmm. The public opinion, the polls are going negative on him. He's got his left in the party. Hmm. It's all about the politics. It's not about the strategy.
Oh, see, he's thinking Afghanistan too thoroughly.
Well, you know, you have to remember that these are the folks that really didn't like to think about anything before going to war in Iraq.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they think it, then they might thought it, and if they thought it, then they might thunk it, which might just lead them to being a liberal if they think that hard.
Exactly, exactly. You don't think if you're a Republican. You do.
We have to strike now, sir.
Do.
Annihilate.
Go.
Kill. Shut up.
That was the sole meeting before the Iraq invasion. That was...
yeah.
Pretty much. Just do. Go. Here's the thing. They must be looking at different polls because the new AP poll out shows Obama's job approval rating going up.
Well,
just about
they do look at different polls. And now, granted, they're not scientific, but, you know, they're, as Madonna said, what the hell is a disco stick? Those are the types of polls that Fox News looks at every day over lunch in Times Square.
I thought that was Lady Gaga, but okay.
Yeah, Lady Gaga was. Yeah, they were. Madonna said, "What the hell is a disco stick?" to Lady Gaga on
okay.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. All right.
I'm hip. I watch the MTVs.
Yes.
You know, here's progress on Carl on Fox News. At least Bill O'Reilly is pointing out that he has no evidence of any kind for the ridiculous crap that he says.
You know what I'm worried about here? I'm worried that Al Franken got elected senator from mm-hmm. Minnesota mm-hmm. because yeah. of Acorn.
Uh-huh.
Because
I
have to tell the
power.
Audience that I don't have any evidence that took place, but a 312 vote margin mm-hmm. for Franken, mm-hmm. when you had thousands and thousands and thousands of questionable ballots by Acorn mm-hmm. in Minnesota, and we're going to have a report on this tomorrow. That, Leslie, gets to be real serious. You know
yes.
what I'm talking about?
Thank God they cover it virtually 24/7. Acorn.
You know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about Bill O'Reilly assaulting some woman who happens to work for him with a loofah in the lunchroom and a falafel in the shower. Oh, wait a minute.
That actually happened.
I don't necessarily have any proof of that, except court filings.
Yeah.
He actually said yesterday that he hasn't mentioned much about the Letterman thing because it's unpleasant.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
well,
why.
You know, it's kind of like when Letterman came out the other night with his, you know, started his stand-up and joked. He said, did you see this in the paper today, Bill Clinton? Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe that's perhaps why Bill O'Reilly doesn't have much to say.
Yeah, exactly. Not a peep out of him.
No, he hasn't been to the Greek deli in a while.
All right. Okay. So O'Reilly, once again, helpfully offering advice to the president on health care.
If I'm President Obama, mm-hmm. I bail on this Obamacare thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not working.
No.
It's not working. The American people don't want it. Mm. It's too chaotic. Mm. It maybe they'll ram something through because they control the Senate and the House, but it isn't working.
Mm. Yeah. Once again, the new polls showing that the American people are supportive of the president's health care reform plan.
And the president. I mean, the president's popularity went up by 6 points in the last month, according to some polls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not disco stick polls, but real polls. And, you know, it's the blinders. You know, you can tell just from the construction of the sentence that he said, if I'm Obama, I drop Obamacare.
Right.
Well, that's an interesting way of phrasing it.
Exactly. All right. Sean Hannity, noted Nobel-winning economist. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's Paul Krugman. No, this is Sean Hannity.
Despite the passage of the $787 billion stimulus package in February, Bloomberg News is reporting that the president is now considering additional measures to boost the economy.
Oh.
Now, they include things like an increase in transportation spending, an extension of a tax credit for first-time home buyers. Now, is it just me, or is all this talk about the need for another stimulus sort of like a frank admission on the part of the administration that the first one didn't exactly achieve what it was supposed to?
Hmm. Well,
it's
Sean.
It's just you, Sean.
Yes. Yes. No, it's just you, and frankly.
You are an idiot!
It's like, no, in fact, Nobel-winning economist Paul Krugman always said the stimulus isn't big enough.
Right.
You
well,
know, but this one obviously is working.
A lot of people said that, and Media Matters came out with a report, this is months ago now, asking cable news, first of all, where are your economists that should be talking about this issue? And second of all, why are you ignoring, you know, a huge portion of the economists and experts who are saying that this stimulus is not large enough, and that if it isn't grown, then we're going to have to come back to the well.
Right.
That was all, there was very little coverage of that. I'm surprised Sean didn't realize.
Aww. Look at you. That was so naive and cute.
He's jealous. Glenn Beck is stealing all his thunder. Did you? Oh, this is good gossip.
Yes.
Did you hear about the little spat brewing between those two?
Yeah, I've heard between that there is some
between Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I must said this to Beck the other day when he was on. He said, Sean Hannity, Rush, they both hate you. Beck's like, no, they don't. And Hymus is like, yes, they all hate you. And I was knowing these guys' egos. I'm sure that's true.
Well, this week or last week, the numbers are out for last week, and Glenn Beck beat Sean Hannity every day.
Wow.
So, you know, Sean Hannity is no longer like second fiddle to Bill O'Reilly. It's now Glenn Beck at 5 o'clock in the freaking afternoon.
Oh, man.
And Sean Hannity is just sitting there going like, okay, all right.
I'm not crazy enough.
Yeah.
I'm too
crazy.
I'm too fair and balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard there's no love lost between Sean and Bill O'Reilly either.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. But, yeah, so when I say rumor, what I mean is wild speculation.
Sure.
But
basically the same journalistic standard that Fox News uses.
I did ask, have you heard?
I just, it gives me glee to think of the right-wing man fights over at Fox News and who's shoving who into the lockers.
Yeah, well, I can guarantee you that Glenn Beck is not in the lockers. He is in the school psychiatrist's office.
Yes.
Carl Frisch, Media Matters for America, our favorite right-wing world co-host. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
See you next time. There he goes.
I think they should do an American Gladiator thing with the big tampons, you know, over a you know, pool full of crocodiles. That'd be great.
21 minutes after the hour, back with the skosh more. Oh, Glenn Beck is in Celebrity Stack as well.
Stack?
Yes, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's do it. Why not? 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Timmy.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Timmy.
I can't wait to see you on Saturday, first of all.
What's that?
I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
That's right. Mama will be in Madison, Wisconsin this Saturday with Bill Press. Go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. What's that?
I said I'm wet with glee.
What? Me
but,
too.
You know, I really love President Obama. I think he's been a great president. I think it's actually nice to have a president with intelligence. But Russ Feingold went ahead and said that he thinks with all the czars going on right now, that it's almost tradition since Andrew Jackson, we pretty much had czars in the White House, that he doesn't think it's very constitutional or anything. And I'm actually disappointed with Obama and the administration right now. Just kind of sending him a letter saying, you know what? You're wasting your time. We don't want to hear about it. We don't care.
Yeah, there. I mean, it's one thing after another that they've done in every other administration that suddenly, I think it's because he's black.
I don't care for czars.
Well, they speak,
they don't
speak well of you.
Well, they don't answer to any other branch of government except for the executive branch. And, you know, our system is based on checks and balances between different branches of government.
My point is, though, he's not the first president to do it.
They make
it sound like it's never been done before.
I know that.
This is some crazy socialistic plan that he's had since kindergarten.
Czars, Russian, huh?
Well,
huh?
That's just a stupid argument right there. Yeah. But I'm just against the idea of czars in general. You know, cabinet members, yes, because those have to be confirmed by the Senate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But czars, they're not confirmed by anybody.
And they're accountable to no one.
Exactly.
So you agree with the woman that we played at the 9/12 rally? This ain't Russia!
What did I just say? Did you just hear me when I said that is a ridiculous argument?
I understand.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Tsar Nicholas was murdered by the communists. The czars were
exactly
not the same thing.
Not communist.
Of all those reacting to David Letterman's situation, Craig Ferguson, of course, has a unique perspective. Letterman is also his boss.
Great.
He said last night, the person you work for, the person you admire and respect, is caught in an embarrassing situation, and your job is to be funny about that whilst trying to keep your own job. He should take a page from you two, like you two care.
No! No, Stephania! No!
I'm caught in an embarrassing situation, and my life is an embarrassing situation.
Yeah.
Like you have any qualms about... All right. 28 minutes after the hour, Congressman Bruce Bailey, Democrat of the great state of Iowa, next on the Newsmaker Hotline.
Stephanie Miller.
Uh-oh. You think we went too far?
Nah. Booze only makes you do things you already wanted to do.
Yeah. 33 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 28 points. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Representative Bruce Braley, Democrat of the great state of Iowa, joins us on the health care debate. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. It's great to be on the show.
You too. Thanks so much for coming. It's your first time.
Yes, I am excited to be on the show. I've listened to it many times traveling around my district.
Wow, that hardly ever happens. Normally, if people have listened, then we can't get them on. But thank you for that, for disregarding your standards. Now, you know, I was talking earlier to a congressman that, you know, there's a story in the paper today about the House feels left out on health care. You know, that there is some fear that, you know, when it comes to health care, does the House even matter? I would beg to differ. I'm of the opinion that the stronger you can make your bill, the more negotiating power we have going in when we're going to meld these Senate and House bills, don't you think?
Oh, I agree absolutely, and it's frustrating to me because so many people who don't really understand how this bill is moving through both the House and the Senate think that the Senate Finance Committee is the end-all be-all of health care reform, and I just think that is totally unrealistic. I think our challenge in the House is to speak truth to fear and to make sure that America understands that we can't afford to wait for health insurance reform, and that's why we've been working so hard on this.
Well, absolutely, and you know, the House bill, to me, it includes three things the Senate bill probably won't, which are really critical: a public health insurance option, the so-called millionaire's tax on wealthy Americans, and a strict requirement that employers offer health insurance. To me, those are really critical.
they're not only critical, but they're incredibly equitable. When I did my 17 town hall meetings in July and August, and people would raise the issue about how we're going to pay for this, and I told them how the House planned to pay for it, and I explained that 99.33% of my constituents would not see a tax increase, most people in attendance were pretty okay with that method of paying for health care reform.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, here's what I keep, you know, I think it was Senator Baucus that was like, well, I support a public option, but, you know, we don't have the votes. And I think if we take a stance like that, then we're not going to get a public option. But, you know, your colleague, Representative Elliot Engel, the other day said the House has to pass the most robust health care bill we can pass, which is what makes sense to me, because if you're going to be in a negotiating position, you have to show, like you said, strength. You know, I think it was another Blue Dog that said, we want to make sure we're not just in a position where we're being forced to cast a vote for something that won't be signed into law. I agree with you, Congressman. We got to stand strong so we make sure this is what's passed into law, right?
Well, absolutely. And the other thing is, we all know that if you look at each state, there is no competition in most states. And that's why we have to talk about the reality of what's going on in places like Iowa and Montana. 80% of the insurance, health insurance in Iowa comes from two companies. One of those companies has a CEO who had to give $190 million back because the SEC concluded he'd obtained it in a fraudulent fashion. And that's what's wrong with the health care discussion right now, is we need to look at all the contributing factors, and that's why a robust public option injects much more competition into the marketplace, which should benefit consumers all over the country. But we have to look at every other component that's adding to cost and driving down quality, and figure out how we're going to put together a comprehensive approach that's going to address all of these concerns.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Congresswoman Schakowsky, your other colleague, I know, said that she thinks, you know, the president will weigh in, and she feels confident the White House will push for a robust public option. Do you agree? Because I know there is concern among other Democrats on whether they're going to get thrown overboard by the White House on the public option.
I think that from talking to my good friend Tom Harkin, who now has a critical role in drafting the compromise language in the Senate, he is going to be pushing along with other progressive Senate Democrats to try to get a public option in the Senate bill before it goes to conference. But quite frankly, the most important time for President Obama to weigh in is when we go to conference. And I'm sure that the House bill is going to have a robust public option. No matter what comes out of the Senate, the time for the president to pressure the people who are going to draft the final bill we vote on, which is the one that comes out of conference, is at that point, because that's when he's going to have the most opportunity to influence how that bill moves out of the Senate, which is the critical pinch point right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've heard the new Associated Press poll, you know, showing the president's job approval rating is going up.
Yes.
It's nearly 60% now approve of Obama's job performance, up from 50% in September. People also feeling better about his handling of the economy and health care reform. So I say the time is now.
The time is right. The time is now. We may never get another opportunity like this. And the facts are that we have a rising health care cost that the health insurance industry has predicted will go up about 11% next year at a time of stagnant wage growth and little inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So doing nothing is not an option. And if people want to pay $25,000 a year by the end of the decade for family coverage across this country, then we should just do nothing. That's an unacceptable option to me. And we need to make sure we're talking about the personal aspect of health care reform. And everywhere I go, Stephanie, I talk about my nephew's 18-month-old son who was diagnosed with liver cancer, had two-thirds of his liver removed. His parents both work. They have health insurance, and they have tens of thousands of dollars of uninsured medical expenses.
Damn.
My nephew won't be able to change jobs because of this, and that is the human face of health care reform, and that's why it's so important that we get it right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, your colleague, Congressman Grayson, got all this grief for what he said on the House floor. And, you know, I just heard a woman today, just you hear story after story who, you know, she got cancer and she said, I just keep getting denied. I keep putting in claims and I keep getting denied. I mean, so really, that is the state of health care. You can't get sick. I mean, and how does that make any sense?
Well, not only that, but the way that private insurance works right now is totally unrealistic. I was interviewed by a college student a week ago for a class project, And when I sat down with her, she had a cleft palate that was very noticeable. And I talked to her about it, and she said the reason she hasn't had her final surgery to eliminate that problem is because her parents have to come up with about $10,000 because under her insurance policy, it's considered cosmetic surgery. Even though it's a birth defect, just like cystic fibrosis or cerebral palsy, which is covered as a health risk under most health care plans. And that's what's wrong with America's health care delivery system.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman Braley, before you go, I want to get your take on Afghanistan and what the president should do there.
Well, a lot of us are extremely concerned about the state of affairs in Afghanistan. That's why I've signed on to Jim McGovern's bill requiring the president to produce an exit strategy in Afghanistan before the end of the year. We are going to be getting a briefing this week, a confidential congressional briefing on Afghanistan. Most of the people who have visited there recently have grave concerns about the level of stability and confidence in the Afghan government. And we just don't want to have a repeat of what happened in Iraq, and we are coming up on the 8th anniversary of our involvement in Afghanistan. So I think it's time. I think healthcare has been an impediment to having meaningful conversations about what we're doing in Afghanistan, but I'm confident that beginning this week we're going to revisit that in a very serious and meaningful way.
Congressman Bruce Braley, in a star-studded first-time appearance on the Stephanie Miller Show of the great state of Iowa, thank you so much, sir. We'll see you again.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. There we go.
Hooray.
From Iowa.
I like him. But I like
very
everybody.
Well-spoken.
But I like everybody who comes on.
Oh, you're a suck up.
I am.
All right. I had a terrifying road rage incident, and I don't know if it was because of my Hollywood liberal license plate. However, Mike in Reno, his wife had a rage incident because she was wearing an Obama T-shirt. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good.
Today?
Go ahead.
Hey, we were at the gym on Saturday, and it was pretty empty. And my wife and I were working out, and she was wearing an Obama 08 shirt. And this guy that works out there, who we've seen, you know, for the last year that we've been there, approaches us and says, I'd be embarrassed to wear that shirt. And I said, oh, well. And he looked at me, and he goes, the revolution's coming. You know, and he's covered with Viking tattoos, and he's got a bald head, you know. And he's a pretty big dude, but I think, you know, these guys are just, they're so frustrated that there's no longer a white guy in the White House. That's all they had to cling to, that this is how they lash out now.
Yeah. Wow. Revolution. Okay. Good to know. We'll make a note of it. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
It's starting in Reno, okay?
All right. Thank you, Viking man. All right. 42 minutes.
Wow.
Yikes.
We would drive the denotation of the women and the children as we drive our victims away from the thing and these kinds of things.
Hey, by the way, guess who's supporting the president's health care reform plan?
Who?
The governor.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll tell you about that when we continue. And the latest on Afghanistan, the big meeting yesterday at the White House, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
London Bridge is in Arizona.
47 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
Yes, it's not a drawbridge.
F12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Dow down 22 points. Lori in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, Lori.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Now, one of my concerns about General McChrystal asking for 40,000 troops is, where are they going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a unit of 40,000 just sitting there like, oh, we haven't been to war yet?
Well,
we don't need any time at home with our family.
Mm-hmm.
Take everybody out of Germany, I guess, and send them to combat zone.
Yeah.
Where are they going to come from? And General McChrystal should know better. And the other thing is, and even Gates, and I'm prior service, but even Gates agrees with this. The people that just got back from Iraq or that are coming back from Iraq in different waves, they need to stay at home for at least a little while.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough. A month? Okay, now you guys are ready to go again.
Yeah,
go.
No, I mean,
turn
I think...
Turn in your summer gear for some winter gear. Let's, you know...
Oh. Yeah, I mean, the president yesterday, so they had this big meeting. He seemed to rule out shrinking the Afghanistan war to just a counterterrorism campaign, yet he didn't signal whether he's prepared to send any more troops into the war zone, either the 40,000 that McChrystal asked for or a smaller buildup. So they emerged from nearly a 90-minute conversation, House and Senate leaders, with praise for his candor, the president, and his interest in listening. Those are two new things, obviously, emanating from the White House. And I know the boner right away has to be a boner. He said, we do recognize he has a tough decision. He wants ample time to make a good decision. And then that's where he pauses to then be a boner.
Yes.
Frankly, I support that. But we need to remember that every day that goes by, the troops we do have there are in greater danger. So he has to, of course,
take your time, but do it quick.
Yeah. That the president obviously is not is putting the troops in harm's way.
Yeah.
By not sending more troops into harm's way immediately, which makes a lot of sense.
The whole thing
sense.
Smells like quagmire to me.
Yep. The the president yesterday.
Al-Qaeda and extremist allies threaten us from different corners of the globe, from Pakistan, but also from East Africa and Southeast Asia, from Europe and the Gulf, and we are developing the capacity and the cooperation to deny a safe haven to any who threaten America and its allies.
It sounds like he's getting ready to expand the search for Al-Qaeda around the world. Because if you notice, in that soundbite, he did not say the word Afghanistan.
Right.
He mentioned a whole lot of other countries where Al-Qaeda is.
Well, you know,
but sort of laying the groundwork for saying, what are we doing there?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's not like they're all hiding there in
well,
Afghanistan.
He said that before. Right. Al-Qaeda is all over the world. They don't need one central place to attack us from. And Robert Gibbs said yesterday what I was thinking. Has anyone come out and said this? And he did.
If you look at those that attacked us on 9/11, based on our going into Afghanistan 8 years ago tomorrow, most of those have moved across the border into a different region of Pakistan.
Well, what we need is better intelligence and actually listening to the intelligence.
Sounds like that's what they're getting ready to implement.
Global police action.
Yeah, exactly, which is something
makes
we've
sense.
Needed from the very beginning.
Well, I mean, we had ample warning before 9/11, and it was the Bush administration that chose to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, to me, it certainly is a smarter way to fight terror. I mean, look at the guys we've already caught here domestically, and there hasn't been really a lot of press on that. But, you know, it's like Jim, you've often said, the same way that Bill Clinton went after it as a law enforcement matter, and those people are in jail now.
Yeah.
Unlike this quagmire, like you say, we've gotten into in Afghanistan where we missed the guys that did 9/11. Yeah. Now they're not there anymore. You know, we approached it. Yeah, we approached it militarily, and it was a complete bust.
And we're still in Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11, even though they claimed it did. As part of the reason to get in there in the first place.
President Obama thanked counterterrorism employees who worked to prevent attacks on the U.S. and its allies, crediting them with making real progress in disrupting Al-Qaeda and other extremist networks. He said the record of your service is written in the attacks that never occur because you thwarted them, and then the countless Americans who are alive today because you saved them. No one can ever promise there won't be another attack on American soil, but I can promise you this. I pledge to do everything in my power as president to keep America safe. I pledge to give you all the tools and support you need to get that job done here
Which
at home.
Which the Bush administration pointed did not do in the months before 9/11 when people like Colleen Rowley were saying there are guys learning how to fly planes and they don't care about landing them.
Yeah.
Hello?
I want to look into that.
Anyone paying attention up there?
Yeah, it seems somewhat suspicious to over here. Senator Harry Reid yesterday after the meeting.
Everyone, Democrats and Republicans, said whatever decision you make, we'll support it, basically.
Yes, and then we'll go on the Fox News and badmouth you, though.
Sure.
We'll say that in the meeting.
Yeah, Eric Cantor went on, I think it was the Situation Room yesterday, and badmouthed everything that was said in the meeting.
Steve in Salinas, California. He's just jealous because Ann Coulter has a bigger Adam's apple.
Yep.
Hello, Steve.
Good morning.
Mm.
Thank you. I think the Republicans are getting on Obama's side here because they want him to fail. They're on record saying they want him to fail. If they can get a bigger quagmire in Afghanistan, then he's going to fail. That's why they're pushing it.
Yeah, listen, I hear you. I'm not trusting the Republicans on anything these days. Tony in Arlington on McChrystal. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Good, go ahead.
I guess what I'm discussing is the 40,000 troop that McChrystal is asking for. I'm retired military infantry, in a matter of fact. And the problem is everyone doesn't understand. He just asked 40,000 troops. We only have like five or six, you know, a couple of divisions light. So how are we going to fight a fight just sending troops who are not infantry or who are not fighters to fight in a terrain of that nature.
Well, right, Tony, and also what we were just talking about is how do you increase the military on a problem that we tried to solve militarily in the first place and didn't, and now they're not even there anymore. So, you know, it seems like I said, the way that they've been approaching it here is been more effective. Let's go to Nancy in Long Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. You're the best.
Thank
you. I just want to let you know, my stepson's Army infantry. He's back from Iraq, and he's been back for about 6 months now. And they've been told they're going to Afghanistan in about 10 months, and they're starting to train now. So, you know, whether or not these things have already been determined, whether it's just part of their cycle of training, I don't know. But definitely, you know, they're getting ready.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's likely that he's going to you know, I don't know that he's going to send that number that General McChrystal's asking for, but I'm sure he's going to be sending some. Doesn't sound to me like we're drawing down, does it?
No.
Let's go to Joel in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yay, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I love you and the MOOCs.
Thank you.
You know, the caller earlier was talking about he was running with his wife who had an Obama shirt on, and some guy came over and made a comment, the revolution is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a nut until you start connecting some of the dots. We know we have a problem at the Air Force Academy, who's been infiltrated by, you know, right-wing Christians.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one guy who's been suing to do something about it, to enforce the Constitution and separate this religion from our military. And he's been being harassed. He's now suing a church where the people pray that he's going to die. And
wow.
You know, and he's had, I was reading this yesterday, they've thrown feces at his door. They've burned crosses on his front lawn.
They're
attacking this guy, and he's suing to protect himself. And then last week we heard that some politician was saying, you know, he's hoping for a military coup to get rid of, you know, our president.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me we need to be connecting the dots. These guys are serious, and they're armed. Yeah.
It's, well, a, it's this a Dr. Strangelove
situation.
You know,
this was on, Chris Newsmax, mm-hmm. right, Joel? It's a, you know, right-wing website, but it's not some lunatic right-wing website. The RNC uses their mailing list.
Right.
I mean, and they actively, you know, sort of were speculating about what if the military overthrew Obama.
Well, they're not speculating. I think they're advocating.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, they are.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
We have a military that's been infiltrated by their people.
Right.
I mean, this is something that's much more serious than a bunch of lunatics or, you know, the lunatics running the Republican Party running around saying nonsense. These guys.
They have control of the nukes.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
And they don't respect the president who has the launch codes, but the Air Force has them too.
Yep.
It's an extremely dangerous situation, and it's not getting enough coverage.
Matt in Minneapolis, it's for you, Jim. Jim!
Hello.
Yep. Question for Jim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just me, but I noticed that when the Soviet Union collapsed, we didn't really have a big enemy to fight anymore.
Right.
And it seems to me that it's possible that Al-Qaeda is made up by the CIA.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was they were the database. Al-Qaeda means the base. It was the database of Mujahideen. That we helped train to fight the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. So, yeah, we created Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, that's not exactly a crazy conspiracy theory. All right, Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Maybe you'll finally take a ride on his disco stick.
Is next. I hope I'm not the only one that's excited on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey! Hey! 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 3 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Like Fine American Ed did from Sarver, Pennsylvania. Stefan the Moogs, whenever someone calls up saying they do not want to be forced to buy health insurance, ask them if they will carry a card with them at all times then that says the following. Because I have no health insurance, if I'm hurt in an accident or brought into the ER, please do not provide any medical assistance that I can't pay for out of my own pocket. I don't want to burden other citizens with paying for my medical care. Ed, thank you, Ed. You're the smartest boy in class today. Okay. And Julie, wondering who brought Caribou Barbie's book? Answer, Newsmax. They're giving them out as little presents when you subscribe to their little right-wing wacko magazine there. Mm-hmm. That's why her book is selling so well.
They've been advertising on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. You know, it's Wednesday, and that can only mean one thing. Oh, yes. Is it the pizza man? Why, no, it's Hal Sparks and Hump Days with Hal.
Hi. Sorry I'm late. Actually, I'm early. Actually, I'm right on time. I'm like the porridge that Goldilocks picked.
You're often wondering, speaking of the smartest boy in class, we were having a science lesson from Hal Sparks during the commercial break.
Yes, we were.
I did not know men have three types of sperm.
It's true.
Please explain.
It's true. We have
kind of like fantasy football.
Yeah, it's very much like fantasy football. And you wonder where we got football from. It's almost like a natural extension. We actually have three forms of sperm, and sperm adapt to the environment necessary, whatever. There's blocking sperm, there's attacking sperm, and then there's impregnating sperm. There's literally,
really?
Like, we have, like, runners, blockers,
wow.
and hitters. And it's evolution-wise, it came up because of when females, you know, during the mating season would have more than one mate.
So, sluts.
Yeah. So the males would have these, little competitions even beyond the actual competition.
I see.
Yeah.
That is fascinating.
Isn't it? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so some of them just...
And just to think that whole conversation sprung from Chris going, what's that on your shirt?
To you.
Yes.
Not
me.
To me, by
to
the
me.
Way. Let's
to
just
me.
Make sure I'm the one who showed up. Let's
to
not,
me.
Yes,
to me.
It's true.
All right. You know, speaking of getting impregnated, we often like to point out things that exist on the internet. For instance, Chris, catswholooklikehitler.com, catswholooklikewilfredbrimley.com, two old men who look like old lesbians.com.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of fascinating
Incense.
Things. However,
no,
things that exist, the placenta teddy bear.
Oh, that's adorable. Do they cut it in the shape? Or
there it is. From delisted.com. Someone's mind actually did venture into the dark side, thought it would be a perfect idea to turn their placenta into a teddy bear.
Oof.
If,
Is it like
delisted,
an edible teddy bear? Or is it, you know...
Delisted goes on to say, if a hoe wants to turn her womb cake into a teddy bear, have at it. But if she could at least use pieces of the umbilical cord to give it eyes and a smile, because it just kind of looks like a boring bear made out of empanadas.
You know what's happening is more people are keeping their placenta after the birth and freezing it in case the child needs any genetic material in the future.
Interesting.
It's become, over the last 10 years, it's become a trend where when they have a baby, they keep it because it's the perfect genetic material. The child, they can even grow bone marrow from it if the child needs a... So laugh all you want, but that teddy bear might save a life.
But if you didn't make a balloon animal out of your placenta, you don't love your child. okay.
Anybody who follows me on Twitter knows that there's a great balloon animal ad from Germany, or from Italy, I think, that promotes condom use. It's kind of brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. Check me out at House Sparks. It's still up there.
Okay, good. Other things I found on the internet.
The
Interbra.
I'm on Interbra.com.
The Wonderbra.
It's a great site.
The Interbra.
Interbra.com.
There is a Wonderbra for men, you'll be happy to know.
Oh.
There's a Wonderbra for men undershirt.
Oh. Thank you, America.
Dave Marshall of Troy, Michigan said it's a Wonderbra for men. He said lower back problems made him seek out a more supportive undershirt. Is your undershirt supportive enough of you?
No. It's always stabbing me in the back. So it's undermining my dreams and desires. That's not a Wonder Bra. That's just a bra. That's just support for man boobs. Because a Wonder Bra actually creates cleavage. And if we're to the point where, like huge, morbidly obese guys have to start creating cleavage as just an alternative form of sexy.
It's actually
in trouble.
More like a girdle.
Yes.
Everything in.
It's very much like
a
girdle.
All right. Here is reason number 6,334 why I am not a mother. I believe, as you know, children are the future. And so I don't have any. This would be me.
Which is crap, because in the future they'll be adults.
adults
are our future,
it's only
children are our present,
kids.
I guess. Yeah.
However, I would be this woman. An Alabama woman has been arrested, accused of endangering the welfare of a child after police say she let her daughter ride in a cardboard box on top of their minivan. But see, to me, many of these parents, you say bad parent, I say problem solver.
I say comedy.
She told police the box was too big to go inside the van, and her daughter was inside the box to hold it down.
The mother also told officers it was safe because she had the box secured to the van with a clothes hanger. Problem solver.
I cannot, by the way, I cannot throw stones at all in this story because my mom, we used to have a Jeep in Kentucky, and my mom used to drive us to the general store hanging on the outside of it pretending to be firemen. And we would literally hang onto the rail on the top of it and go, to the fire! To the fire! And she'd get up about 25, 30 miles an hour. That would be her max, but while we were outside the vehicle. So, yeah. But a ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Okay, story number two. Police
to the
say,
fire!
Police say a Marin County couple with several drunk driving arrests between them let a 13-year-old boy drive them home to avoid another DUI. Problem solvers.
Seriously.
Problem solvers.
Again, I learned to drive in Kentucky when I was 13 years old
right. Because
my mom was too sick to go to the store and I had to go get food, so I got in the Jeep and figured it out.
Well, you know, if that was 8-year-old...
Two and a half miles of...
Hal, you missed my road rage story. I was the victim of road rage here in L.A. yesterday. Yes, because I have a Hollywood liberal license plate holder.
I know.
Don't know if that was it.
I know what it looks like.
Guy
I've seen it, but I've not
followed it.
The guy tried to cut me off like 16 times, tried to get me, slam the brakes on in front of me, followed me home, and it was construction workers. It just scared him away.
Well, yeah.
He was a psychopath.
Wow, you have them loitering on your lawn all the time? You just have like nine?
No, he was near my street, thank God. I pulled over and, yes. Anyway.
You do have my number, don't you? In case of that, because I'll swoop in. Don't worry, I'll protect you.
I'll stroke to your house.
All
right. Nancy in Oakland.
Damn it.
Nancy in Oakland on road rage.
Yeah.
Hey, Steph. Hi.
Hi.
It's quite a party you got going there. Hey, listen.
Yes.
The reason this happened is the full moon this last weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Absolute madness everywhere, and everyone is completely on edge. I don't know if it's this guy's employment status or what, but I say it's this crazy full moon. It's waning, so it's chilling out. But
when the moon reaches that degree and we hit 9.8% unemployment that it brings out the real.
Yeah, the two in combination.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's that's what I mean. I don't know if it's because the economy is so bad, the unemployment situation, but I this guy was out of his mind.
Right.
I mean, literally, he like stalked me. He turned to a stalk. I thought he was gonna, anyway.
I don't think it's because you cut him off. It's because I think you didn't look at him and give him the attention he wanted, and pretty lady, and that drives some guys bananas. So. I think there may be more to the story than, this guy may follow you every morning and all he wants is a little look, and every day he gets it, and then one day you just turned right instead of left because you were going to the store instead of straight to the house, and that was it. I love you! Come on! That wasn't me.
All right. Speaking of boy-girl trouble, did you hear the Republican Congressional Committee is urging Senate General Stanley McChrystal to put Nancy Pelosi in her place? For weighing in on Afghanistan.
Yeah, where women belong. Barefoot in the kitchen, I suppose, is what they have in mind. Is that the place they're talking about?
Yes. Pelosi had the audacity to tell Charlie Rose that McChrystal should go up the line of command instead of publicly opining on war strategy.
Yeah, McChrystal, who was involved in the Tillman cover-up.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Anyway, but the Republican committee mocked her as General Pelosi. And said, if Nancy Pelosi's failed economic policies are any indicator of the effect she may have in Afghanistan, taxpayers can only hope McChrystal is able to put her in her place.
Yeah, that's what that stock market getting up towards 10,000 and heading towards 10 or 11 in the spring. That failed economic policy in 8 months that has shifted things back around. Yeah, that's what it is. But she needs to be in her place. She does.
Yeah, our friend Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was just on yesterday.
Who is super awesome beyond belief.
She said, I think the place for a woman is at the top of the House of Representatives. It's evidence they long for the days when a woman's place was in the kitchen. Now a woman is third in line for the presidency, but not surprising coming from a party that's 80% male and 100% white. You don't want to mess with Congresswoman Schultz. Trust me.
That is not fair. They do have a black man leading the RNC. However, they do not allow him to make policy, and when he tries, they step on him with both feet.
Yeah, have you seen this story? This is hilarious. Michael Steele apparently got a talking to behind closed doors from the, in a private meeting, they apparently delivered blunt, at times heated message to RNC Chairman Michael Steele, quit meddling in policy.
Right.
Well, you think you are head of the RNC?
Yeah, we don't have policy right now, okay? Did you not get the memo? We don't do policy. This is not about, this is about no.
We do ideas. Yeah. We do yelling. That's all we do.
Right.
The plea was made during what was supposed to be a routine discussion about polling matters in the Boner's office. House Minority. The session reportedly devolved into a heated discussion about the roles of the congressional leadership and Steele. People familiar with the meeting said the congressional leaders were particularly miffed that Steele had in late August unveiled a seniors' health care bill of rights without consulting them.
Yeah. Because they don't like the Bill of Rights to begin with. They don't want to attach that phraseology to their stuff. Plus, it's got to be weird with Boner yelling at you from inside the tanning bed that he's got in his office. It's just what an awkward argument that is with a nude man laying on some fluorescent tubes with a lid over. Can you guys push the timer back up to 20? I'm not done yet.
Check this out, Jim. You'll love this part. At one point, Steele said his upbringing in the streets made him a fighter.
That's right. That's the way I roll, baby. Look at my hat.
Uh-huh.
That's how you know.
I tip it back to the side. Right.
Yeah, he had fighting words yesterday. He said the continuing unease over his leadership owed to some Hill aides, quote, who clearly have a bug up their you-know-what. Oh.
Ooh, strong words.
Oh, that's street. That gives him more street cred there.
Absolutely. That's like so Kanye.
Is he more a Crip or a Blood?
Uh-huh.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not going rogue.
A drip or a dud.
I did consult with both Senator McConnell and Congressman Boner. They signed off on it. We got their imprimatur, in fact, some of their input on the language. And so, again, that's typical Washington stuff, trying to create a tempest in a teapot. He said, I wasn't meddling in politics. A certain one or two senators wanted to know what the health care bill of rights is all about, and I told them straight up, as they say
no,
on the streets.
Straight up, Gene.
Oh, God.
What it was all about.
It's like you're the dad in Better Off Dead having a conversation with John Cusack reading out of a book of slang. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Hey, man, what's going up? Down, Dad. What's going down? What's going up, son? Are you on the pot?
House Sparks, yes. What is your take on Afghanistan? So they had this big meeting yesterday.
I think they set up a bear trap and, you know, covered in barbed wire for whoever came in next, because there are guys who have an entrenched interest in us spending a lot of ammo and spending a lot of machinery in Afghanistan. It's our last front as far as, the military-industrial complex being able to spend their, and make us buy more.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like if nobody's eating Doritos has no reason to make more, as it were. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. This is the only real place we're actually doing major, arms expansion. And they want to be in there. They want to stay in there. And Obama's in the difficult position of the northern Pakistan, southern Afghanistan region does house, terrorist groups, does have a place where they hide out. And we've been pushing this plan since he got in office, which is work with the Pakistani government to push from one side. We'll push from the north and hopefully squeeze it out like a big terrorist zit. And
you were going to say something else. Okay.
I bet you did. What is that on your shirt after all?
I thought you were going to say pinch a terrorist loaf.
Oh, right.
All right.
No, I would never say
20
that.
20 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Hal Sparks. It's Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
That's what the
show.
Breaks are for.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is soothing. 24 minutes after the hour. The Stephanie Miller Show with Hump Days with comedian Hal Sparks.
Sorry, is it me sliding up behind you during that part of the song?
That's the sound.
Is that disturbing? That's it. Hear that squeal noise? That's actually a sample of Stephanie.
Yes. Hal Sparks makes me squeal, indeed. So, Hal, did you hear, speaking of polls, that the president's poll numbers are up in a new AP poll?
What do you know? Again, can I just say that I called it again? We went through this whole freak out with the stimulus package, where everybody thought it was going to go away, and the Republicans were fighting so hard, and then it went through, and everyone's like, oh, wow, he actually did, he made it, he managed to do it. It should have been bigger, we know that now, but at least it went through. And then Sonia Sotomayor, she was not going to make it through, all the Republicans were saying all the stuff, there was no fight back, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then August was just this month where the Republicans went nuts and just spent all their ammo on the field, by the way, when nobody was around, and it was the biggest vacation month of the year, which was brilliant.
By the way, can I just say Sonia Sotomayor had a kick-ass first day in the United States Supreme Court. She has more questions in the first day than Clarence Thomas has asked in the entire time he's been there.
Right. Yeah. Well, because he doesn't have any questions. He knows what his marching orders is, and he comes in. He's a rubber stamp justice.
He just says what Scalia said.
Exactly.
His stamp just
What he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget about it. You know, that's all. It's again.
She displayed no reticence in her first day on her first term. In the two cases on the docket, she asked as many questions and made as many comments as Chief Justice John Roberts. The only sign of her newness was at times she forgot to turn on her microphone before posing a question. I've been at radio, Chris, as you know, 25 years. I frequently do that, don't I?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't I? What?
What?
Oh. Mm-hmm. She is, of course, a former prosecutor. She was part of an animated bench for the first case of the
new
term.
Very exciting.
Good for her.
I think it's we're looking at a slow shift. The problem that they have with her is that she was, you know, they used all this code language, but that she's a very forceful judge. And this was an issue with them. And I think the reason is because they put a lot of soft-headed guys on the bench that were supposed to just follow Scalia's lead. And when you teach people to kind of, look, we'll set the agenda and you just
She's
do
one
it.
Of those uppity women with opinions like Nancy Pelosi,
They're afraid that she'll make a point and they'll have to agree with her.
Mm-hmm. Yep. As Bill Maher said, it's you know, part of the long history of the Puerto Rican woman having her boot on the neck of the white man in America.
Yeah, it's horrible. That's got to end, doesn't it? Unless you pay extra for that. That's kind of something. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody's got their own, you know, flavor that they like.
Get
a
this.
Neck on the throat, you know.
People pay good
money.
The new polling figures show the country's mood beginning to brighten a touch. 41%
except for the road rage guy.
Yeah. Except for that guy.
Yeah.
The economy was the biggest concern, no kidding, with 88% saying they consider extremely or very important, followed by unemployment, health care, terrorism, the budget deficit, taxes, the war in Afghanistan. The increase in Obama's job approval rating was driven by more positive view of his handling of nearly every single one of those issues. Here's the partisan divide, though, still. While 88% of Democrats say they approve of his performance, just 18% of Republicans approve.
Well, especially now that he's engaging it, you know, now that he's actually doing what they hate him for doing.
But here's the key. His job approval has gone up among independents. 53% say they approve of the president's job performance, a 9-point increase. Even more striking, the percentage of independents who say they disapprove plunged 16 points. So,
well, that's because they like when he does what he got in there to do, they love it. The problem is he plays rope-a-dope. He plays this, he knows the politics of Washington enough to know that you can't just bulldoze and get away with the liberal side of policy. Yep. You can do it with war.
I think I mentioned this earlier. Guess who is coming over on health care reform? The governor.
Yeah.
Health care and things of this nature.
We have to do the health care, these kinds of things of this nature, to stop with the sickness and the things.
Back with that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I mean, am I attracted to her? Yes. Would I ever act on it? No, no way. Not while my wife is still alive.
33 minutes after the hour, Senator Mitch McChinless yesterday on Afghanistan.
I hope that at the end of the day, the president will follow the advice of some of our finest generals who we believe know what it would take to stabilize the situation in Afghanistan.
Not the generals that are telling him to shut his pie hole on TV, but that general.
Right.
The generals the Republicans agree with.
The ones that have been playing out the Bush policy for the last 8 years, which has worked out so well. Mm. So much so that we've been in Afghanistan longer than we were in World War II and Vietnam put together.
Senator John Kerry, with some other thoughts on the matter yesterday.
Nobody is talking about just leaving. Nobody is talking about only a counterterrorism strategy. What we're talking about is how do we accomplish a set of goals that are, in fact, accomplishable and appropriate to the task here.
Yeah. It's not that they're not talking about it. It's that they can't talk about it because you're not even allowed to present those as possibilities. But
yes. Is Senator Bomb-Bomb-Bomb-Bomb-Bomb-Iran, who seems to have a fairly clear foreign policy... Senator McCain yesterday.
Half measures is what I worry about.
Yeah.
Not getting completely out of Afghanistan. Half measures that were the same kind that took place under Rumsfeld and Casey that lead to failure over time and an erosion of American public support.
He just, he has the same, I think, solution for everything. It's just a die, kill, kill.
Right.
Well, more.
Yeah,
more
exactly.
Troops, more. blowed up things.
I'm not sure what we should do, but I know we shouldn't mitigate anything, and we should also not do anything that the president wants.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
I think half measures are anything that Obama wants, because
Yeah, they're already for, they're already against whatever he's for. They don't know what it is yet, but
right.
they're pretty sure they're against it.
Follow Nixon's winning strategy in Vietnam. Expand the war into neighboring
right.
countries.
Well, it's like the healthcare debate. Everybody's like, you know, that read the bill petition and stuff. There are several bills, and they're yet to go through committee where they need to, like, where they get together and they work out all the parts of it and actually formulate the actual bill that will actually be voted on. So there's no bill to read quite yet. You can
yes.
read all the other bills if you want. You can read all the parts, but mm-hmm. that's not going to tell you what's in the final bill.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the same way with Afghanistan.
Representative Hoyer yesterday, this is still less time than it took Bush to decide on the surge, by the way.
He reiterated they thought it was a decision that needed to be made in a timely fashion. They intended to do that.
What's timely mean?
Well, he didn't say specifically, but my interpretation of that is soon, within the context of weeks, not months.
All right, Mike in Reno, you're on with Hal Sparks. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I'm just wondering where Mitch McConnell was when Bush was firing the generals that didn't agree with his ideas.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. It's another
wheel
of yes.
Mm-hmm. Right-wing hypocrites!
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to guess he was at Churchill Downs.
Good guess.
Yeah. Because in Kentucky, where we hold the Derby every year.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of healthcare, so I mentioned this. So Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger praised President Obama's drive to overhaul the nation's healthcare system and urged fellow Republicans to join in efforts to finish the job this year.
Yeah, finish the job.
Finish my job for me.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, it's so obvious. Like, he was so against all this stuff until we really needed it. It's like the Texans who now want stimulus money.
Yeah.
They all voted against the stimulus package, and now they want $3 billion yeah. in stimulus funds.
Right. Well, I mean, but he tried and failed to pass universal health care here in California. So, it seems like the Republicans that are not... I mean, Bill Frist, did you hear Bill Frist came out in support of the president?
Yeah.
Said he would vote for the health care reform bill. It's the ones that are not in power anymore, you know, are part of this debate that apparently are trying to...
Because nobody can mobilize against them and keep them from getting elected or run a primary challenge against them, which is what the plan is.
New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said healthcare legislation deserves support across the political spectrum. So, it seems to me some Republicans are trying to pull their party back from the crazy brink.
Well, they have no other choice. I mean, at this point, it is either full-blown crazy train or dissipation. They cease to exist. I mean, and quite frankly, they do. You can have an entire argument from conservative to completely liberal within the Democratic Party now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even need the Republicans for a legitimate conservative angle on things. I'm not a fan of the Blue Dogs, but they can make the case for a conservative point of view better than anybody in the Republican Party does right now, because they're just, heels in, like Flintstone trying to stop his car.
For instance, do I hear the sound of Senator John Ensign being thrown under the bus?
Oh, man.
These days. Let's see. On CNN's State of the Union, Barbara Boxer announced there's a preliminary investigation going on. We'll look at all aspects of this case. When asked whether Ensign can continue to serve effectively, Senator John Kyle, Republican of Arizona, refused to lend his support to Ensign. We should simply wait and see what happens, Kyle said. Mitch McConnell, of course, said, I really don't have any observations to make about the Ensign matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you're referred to as a matter.
Yeah.
the unpleasantness.
Right. They can't bring it up because it's totally untenable. There, every detail about it, from the affair itself and the fact that he was sleeping with a staffer's wife, to the fact that he got that guy a job lobbying, and that guy was lobbying him, and you could say basically that whoever he got him that job for is going to get their way because automatically, because if he doesn't, it's a form of blackmail. So he's allowing himself to, and then his parents writing her a $96,000 check.
Yep.
None of it is good. There's no way to paint
the latest
this.
Is Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn has now suggested that he's willing
Another
to testify
family member.
Before the Senate Ethics Committee. You remember at the time he claimed, I don't know what that was, a deacon physician privilege something?
Yeah. Right.
Even though he was not his priest or physician.
He's not a priest, but he's a deacon of a church. He's a member of the family. He's a member, like, if you read Jeff Charles' family, and he's one of these guys who's been doing this rogue political, foreign policy stuff.
Yeah.
Making trips to Africa and other
nations. So he said he would not testify. Asked by a reporter yesterday if he'd cooperate with the ethics committee in the Ensign scandal. He said, well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
John Ensign, by the way, here's a nifty explanation about the guy whose wife he was banging, that guy.
Yeah.
He recommended him like he would, anybody whose wife he wasn't banging.
In the past, I recommended him for jobs just like I've recommended a lot of people. But we absolutely did nothing except for comply exactly with what the ethics laws and the ethics rules of the Senate state. We were very careful in everything that we did, and you can see our statements on that.
We wore protection.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Well, if you just apply AB logic to that, that means that anybody else he's offered up a job for, he was probably banging their wife,
yes,
too.
Yes, clearly. I think that was his point. Like, I'm banging a lot of guys' wives.
Yeah.
How am I supposed
I recommended
to keep track?
Him like every other dude who's married to the chicks that I'm hitting right now.
I mean, so what?
Listen,
what's your point?
If I had to take off my list of guys whose wives I'm banging off the list of guys to recommend for stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to be blackmailed or bribed or lobbied by anybody. And that's not, how can you be a Republican that way?
Say, hey, at least I'm not hanging out in men's rooms, huh?
Right, exactly. That's how long do you think that is before they start throwing each other under the bus in a worse way? You know, it's the old thing. It's you can only be caught with a live boy or a dead girl.
Right.
Yes.
That,
you know, live boy is always a bigger problem. You know, and a live cop.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
House Republicans are backing off an effort to reprimand Alan Grayson for saying that Republican health care plans amount to wanting sick people to die quickly, which was true.
It was true.
Yeah.
Yes. Republicans led by Representative Tom Price, who cheered Joe Wilson, the well-known asshat, he drafted a resolution scolding Grayson for his remarks. He said, but at this point, the people of his district are probably in the best position to register their approval or disapproval, which, by the way, it's they've overwhelmingly registered approval from what I understand from his campaign contribution.
It's not like they're surprised on
Let
who they elected. Yeah, he didn't suddenly become that way.
Yeah.
Plus,
I'm sorry, I love this guy. Grayson continued last week calling Republicans knuckle-dragging Neanderthals and hypocrites, saying he wanted to usher in a new era of bipartisanship. He mockingly invited Price to be his campaign finance director, saying the controversy has boosted his fundraising.
That's funny!
My favorite thing is that every time he says something,
it's some new species of Democrat. Like a Democratic unicorn.
Oh, it's kind of amazing. Where did you come from? You're doing all the things the Republican did, only you're using facts and truth. I love the clutch the pearls moment that all the Republicans are having. Like, oh my goodness, what is he saying?
He is so rude.
How can you use phraseology like that? That is crazy. And that's, they've been running on that for 8 years. I mean, it's the Karl Rove playbook, and when it's played against them, they're that's horrifying and completely untoward.
How dare you?
Fanning themselves like a
I'll be on the
Southern
veranda
belle.
With a mint julep.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I nearly spilled my mint julep on myself.
Right.
I'll be on the fainting couch.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
I'm going to slam down my 1940s telephone.
Oh, never.
Okay, 43 minutes after the hour. Wow, speaking of the right-wing smear machine, what they are doing to this, to Kevin Jennings, is beyond the pale. We will talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, that is so my humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, oh.
The Dow is down 44 points. It is 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Why? I almost forgot Emmy-winning rock star, comedy rock star Jim Ward. It's time for stand-up news. Why? What was I thinking? When news breaks here, it stays broken. Study says fatty foods may be better for pilots. Climbing into a fighter jet, butter-soaked lobster may help. That was the surprising finding of a new military-funded study that sought to figure out what types of food were best for pilots when missions restricted what they could eat. University of North Dakota researchers found that pilots who ate the fattiest foods, such as butter or gravy, had the quickest response times in mental tests and made fewer mistakes when flying in tricky cloud conditions. Interesting.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We'll be flying at an altitude of about 30,000 feet for most of the flight, but given the wild wind patterns, violent downdrafts, and other meteorological phenomena caused by climate change, much of the flight will be an e-ticket roller coaster ride to hell, which we may or may not survive. Consequently, instead of your in-flight meal, I suggest you order an entire box of Dramamine and keep your barf bags close. I also suggest you direct your flight attendants to send the greasiest, fattiest meals on offer to the cockpit, as studies have shown that the fat, gravy, and butter-laden meals tend to keep pilots' brains sharp while performing tricky maneuvers in cloudy conditions. They also keep our blood pressure high enough to withstand extreme G-forces during high-speed maneuvers, which we'll be doing a lot of. You know what's also good? Jobs. Lots and lots of jobs. You don't want to be distracted by sexual arousal when you're supposed to be worried about angle of attack, stall speed, best rate of climb. So if you want to live, you'd best be prepared to put out. Or would you rather be incinerated in a fiery crash? Didn't think so. Flight attendants, prepare the cabin for bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Might be a long trip in Madison this Saturday.
This is one of their ways, by the way, that they were getting around the fact that female pilots do very, very well because the fat in their bodies is much more evenly distributed and that kind of stuff. And they store.
Are you
that
saying
kind of,
we're fat? You're no, saying we're fat.
No, I'm saying that they.
You're saying I look fat in this outfit.
No, I'm not. I'm saying you've got a couple of specific fat deposits that are very healthy.
No, but also the muscles that you use for childbirth are also the same ones you use when you don't have a G-suit. You sort of bend down to keep the blood from
going straight to your brain.
Thank goodness those new barbells I bought are working.
Those aren't barbells. Barbells don't vibrate.
And finally, a French gay soccer team says its members were victims of homophobia when a team of Muslim players refused to play a match against them.
The Who Paris highlighted that?
The Paris Foot Gay Team says it received an email canceling a match scheduled for last Sunday. Because of the principles of our team, which is a team of devout Muslims, we can't play against you or in any of your reindeer games, apparently, the email said.
Zut alors! Qu'est-ce que c'est? Qu'est-ce qui se passe? C'est incroyable! La plume de ma tante est sur la table! You refuse to play avec nous because we are gay? Fichez-moi de la paix, j'en ai marre! We hate you on your visage de cul. You are peuple de bâtards! Besides, it is you Muslims who are always wearing mumus and bending over with your derrière in the air during the appel à prière. And you're always around other men. You never see Muslim men with women. Pourquoi? We go to the discotheque and dance avec les femmes all the time. They love us. We dance better than the straight men and they know we're not trying to get into their pantalon. It is a gagné-gagné, how you say, win-win. And here's a little secret. The 72 virgin waiting for you in heaven? You're not really virgin. Trust me. The girls tell us everything. Au revoir. Mwah, mwah.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. All right. Speaking of the gay.
Yeah.
Hal Sparks, who is not gay, but plays who played one on Queer as Folk.
Yes. It's true. I'm gay adjacent, as they say. Yes. I have real estate right up against the gay area of town. But it's nice enough to have
a
view. But
you made a really good point during the break. Yeah. We're gonna talk about Kevin Jennings. But you were saying whenever, a man gets caught with a boy, they always make it sound like it's the fault of homosexuality.
Right.
And pedophilia.
Always
related.
Yeah, they always go, like a guy gets busted for that, and they're like, it's the homosexuals. It's just homosexuals. And they never, they have an army of guys marching on to catch
Roman
a
Polanski.
Predator.
They don't ever say, it's
they
really.
Go, Roman Polanski, that's just indicative of the heterosexual lifestyle.
Agenda.
Agenda. I have a heterosexual agenda, quite frankly, and there's nothing negative about it. And so why would I think the homosexual agenda is bad at all?
Exactly. Well, so,
you've seen my heterosexual agenda.
Yeah, well, I certainly have. And it's a, that's a large agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
they call it my dumbbell.
This Kevin Jennings is a... Jennings is gay, and he is. They have really cranked up the homophobic right wing smear machine against this guy.
Have they run out of black people to attack? Is that the problem? Black people in the
administration? His appointment as head of the Education Department's Office of Safe and Drug Free Schools is what's at issue. Representative Stephen King, Republican of Iowa, this guy.
I love his books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, not that, Stephen King. Trust me.
His writing is just as filled with horror, though. I can only imagine his bills are probably just as frightening.
He's the one that said his electric fence works to keep animals out of his farm or whatever, and we should try that at the border. Because you see Mexicans, animals, same.
Sure,
same,
right. Yeah,
same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he wants President Obama to dump school safety czar Kevin Jennings, claiming he promoted homosexuality in elementary schools.
Eliminating negative stereotypes is not the same as promoting.
Yes. Right.
You know what I mean? Any more than, you promoted the Black Panther agenda by just no longer letting people discriminate against black people.
Jennings' appointment is actually part of a push by the Obama administration to recognize the increasing problem of school bullying, underscored by the recent beating death of a 16-year-old Chicago student,
right.
Who, as I understand it, was not gay necessarily.
Nope.
So this book, I guess, that Jennings wrote is a compilation of essays that seems to be focusing on eliminating homophobia among children in schools, and it aims to foster diversity. It is the book jacket says the book is not about teaching kids to be gay, lesbian, bisexual, straight. It's not part of a sinister gay agenda.
Well, also it's not really about the development of diversity. It's about the recognition of diversity. This is not going to create gay teens or gay kids. It's not any more than it would create black kids or Hispanic kids or
yes.
Asian kids. They exist, and at a certain point, we all have to start acting in the world as it is, not how we wish it in our Christian closed-mindedness it was.
Reminds me of Anita Bryant in the 70s. I believe that homosexuals can be ex-homosexuals.
Right.
And Negroes can be ex-Negroes.
Right.
Oh, man. She was in the movie Milk when they asked her, do you think homosexuality should be outlawed? She said, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Well, it was in a lot of different places. Did it do anything about it? No.
Yes,
because it's a natural thing.
The head of the country's biggest teachers group is accusing Representative Steve King of what they call a McCarthy-like butchering of Obama anti-bullying czar Kevin Jennings. I think Congressman King has obviously decided he's going to do the bidding of Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh on the extreme right instead of advocating for the needs of America's public school children. This McCarthyism and butchering that the right wing is doing is disgraceful. That's...
Well, Hannity's the one who's going after him, and he's the one who made the NAMBLA Association. He said that he praised someone who was one of the founders of NAMBLA, which is, A, not true. The guy wasn't one of the founding members of NAMBLA. I don't even know that NAMBLA has founding members or anything. I think it's kind of almost a semi-fictional organization.
Yeah.
Much the same way the organization of kidnapping pedophiles in the United States is some sort of organized thing, that you always hear about when some dude abducts somebody and he's had him in their basement. And if you get you escape, we're going to be able to stop you because all my friends in the police force. It's that kind of thing.
Yep.
It doesn't exist.
The president is going to speak, Hal, as you know, to the Human Rights Campaign. This weekend, in fact, it falls on the eve of the National Equality March on the National Mall this weekend. So do you think he's going to be able to, because there's obviously a lot of unease in the gay community that he's not moving quickly enough. Do you think he's going to be able to quell that?
Well, I think it's after the last 8 years, a lot of people are impatient, especially because they were treated like crap their entire lives. And then the last 8 years, it's like the nation doubled down on them, and the last Democratic president we had, Clinton, created the don't ask, don't tell policy and sort of allowed the groundwork for DOMA to be laid. And so I can understand the frustration. I also have to kind of recognize that in the 8 months that he's been in office, he's made more direct moves towards shifting the policy in a permanent way than anybody up till now has ever done. And the whole point is to get rid of the laws forever.
My desire is that we get health care done and then don't ask him tell us next.
And I think that's exactly the plan.
All right. Tweet Hal Sparks, won't you, or something?
At Hal Sparks, yes.
HalSparks.com. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward.
I'll be at the Cobbs Comedy Club this weekend in San Francisco. All the Green 960 kids can come down.
Go see Hal there. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.